Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Game Quest. It's a game day VolQuest.com podcast. It's Tennessee's getting set for Mississippi State at home, Neyland Stadium, Saturday night, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Game Quest is presented by our great friends over at Premier Garage Knoxville, East Tennessee's number one provider of custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. Be the best Tennessee fan this football season by ordering the Smoky Gray Hybrid Polymer Floor today at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. That is PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. I'm Eric Kane, alongside my co-host Grant Ramey here on Game Quest. We got a lot to get into. Paul Jones from the Mississippi State on 3 site. Maroon and White Daily is going to come up here in a matter of about 15 minutes and give us a scout on the Bulldogs. But a lot to get into. But at the end of the day, Grant, Tennessee, of course, coming in at number 7 in the first installment of the college football playoff rankings. They would be the 8th seed, would be hosting a first-round home playoff game against Indiana at the playoff start of the day. Bottom line, Tennessee's in a good spot. You're one loss. You continue to win. You're not playing your best football overall, but you're a pretty good football team, and that's kind of the message here this weekend. Take care of business. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't be looking into Athens. Focus on what's at hand, and that's Mississippi State on Saturday.
That is what's at hand. I think you have kind of three objectives in this era of college football. Make the playoff, host a playoff game, or get the first round bye and go straight to the quarterfinals in a bowl game if you could win a conference title. So Tennessee has checked off two of those boxes in the first college football rankings update release of the season.
Got to hold on to it, obviously.
Yeah. Being that number 8 seed, obviously got to hold on to it. But it's a good place to start. It's kind of rewarding this Tennessee team for what they've done despite that loss at Arkansas. Being one spot behind Penn State was maybe kind of surprising with the way that Penn State-Ohio State game played out. Being in front of Indiana was also kind of surprising with Indiana being 8-0. I know their schedule is pretty soft, but they have handled teams pretty easily. So it's a good place to start. And you have a Mississippi State team coming in here where I keep trying to predict this team's going to have a get-right game. They haven't had one yet. It's just kind of they've followed the same pattern of struggling in the first half and having more success in the second half and winning football games. If that's just what the pattern is for now, then so be it. But it's a Mississippi State team that's 0-5 in the SEC, 2-7. Got whipped by Toledo at home, played tough at Texas, put up a ton of points at Georgia a few weeks ago. So, I mean, trying to figure this team out is kind of what we feel like every single week. It's tough to figure out who this team is. It's tough to figure out who Tennessee is, and we've been watching them since August. So that's college football for you. I think that's the new age of college football. It's good luck trying to figure out anybody.
Yeah. We're going to get into Mississippi State, some keys to the game, some predictions and all that. Again, Paul Jones coming up here in the middle part of this show to give us a true in-depth behind enemy lines look at Mississippi State. But if you'll allow me, let's continue this playoff conversation just a little bit because, I think in week one, the committee valued not valued losses, but looked at losses.
Right.
And, you know, what was a good loss? What was a bad loss? What did you look like in that loss? Penn State, you know, comes in one spot ahead of Tennessee because he lost to Ohio State by a touchdown. They said that was a back and forth game. I think Ohio State controlled it throughout, but you lost by a one score game to Ohio State, which they valued as the second best team in the country, 5th seed, but the second best team in the country. So Penn State stays right there. Obviously Texas didn't drop down too far after losing to Georgia. Georgia's the third ranked team in their rankings. Alabama seeing the quality wins that it has on the schedule. It's the only 2-loss team in there. It comes in there at 11. But any way you want to look at it, SEC gets 4, Big Ten gets 4. That's not really shocking to me because, again, it's those two conferences that are kind of holding all the weight in college football. And, you know, what these two conferences do is the future of what the college football playoff is going to look like. But ACC one bid right now in week one with Miami since Clemson lost. Big 12, one bid right now. So I think that's good for Tennessee. But that's kind of where you start. And so you wanted to see what they kind of valued. You know, if Tennessee loses, you know, on the road at Georgia and it's competitive and it's close, I don't expect Tennessee to drop too much. Of course, all you have to do is continue to control your own destiny, go and win those football games. You don't have to worry about any of it.
No, and actually, I was looking at the ESPN playoff predictor earlier this week. I think Tennessee has a 74% chance this week to make the playoffs, sitting here at 7-1. I think that's like 7th best or kind of tied with Notre Dame a little bit. I mean, Penn State, I'm sorry, and ahead of Indiana, those type of teams, Boise State. And you can kind of go on there and kind of calculate wins and losses based on the three biggest games left. And the three big games it has is Mississippi State, Georgia, and Vanderbilt, since there's only four left and the other one's UTEP. But you can click, you know, beat Mississippi State, lose at Georgia, beat Vanderbilt, and finish 10-2. And the percentages went up to 85% to get in. Now, yeah, there's less chance to host as a two-loss team. But, you know, that the fact that the percentages go up, assuming a loss at Georgia, it feels like you're in a good spot, and through eight games you've done what you need to do despite, you know, a bad night in Fayetteville a month ago. You've put yourself in position where you can go to Georgia and you're not going to get dinged for a loss at Georgia. You're going to still be in that conversation, that playoff conversation moving forward. So that said, you better take care of business at Mississippi State. You better take care of business against UTEP. Going to Vanderbilt is not going to be what people entered the season thinking going to Vanderbilt was going to be, based on what we've seen from them in the season the Commodores have had. So you better take care of business. You better not assume anything, and you better just go week to week trying to keep yourself right in the thick of that conversation.
Yeah, I think from here on out, again, just one week into the college football playoff rankings, we'll see what they look like on Tuesday and then, you know, next Tuesday, so on and so forth. You want to root for Army to beat Notre Dame. I don't think that'll happen, but that'd be great if you can get Notre Dame. I just love the fact that Notre Dame, the best they can ever do in this current format is be a 5 seed. I love that. It's just so funny to me. But get them out of there. You want to root for Miami to continue to win so that the ACC can be a one bid league. I think that'd be great. And then, of course, you know, for Tennessee, just continue to win. I bet a lot of people were wondering, well, Indiana sitting here undefeated, why is Indiana behind teams like Tennessee and, you know, teams like Penn State? Well, Indiana's strength of schedule is 103rd in the country. You know, everybody wants to talk about how Tennessee's is so bad. Well, Indiana's is 103rd in the country.
33rd in the country, I believe, yes, if I'm not mistaken. Penn State's is 28th. So that's kind of the neighborhood that those two teams are in, and that's how far off Indiana is. Now, Indiana, all you can do is beat up on the teams in front of you, and they're going to have tougher tests down the road, and we'll see how they handle that. Right now, they've passed every single test.
Like, and they've done it, and something we've talked about with Tennessee, right? And give Indiana credit. All you can do is play the teams on your schedule, like you said, but they are beating the crap out of them. And that's what it needs to do. It's like, oh, well, you're going to play these easy teams. Well, make the score as lopsided as possible, and that's what Indiana's doing. You wish Tennessee would be doing that offensively, but at the end of the day, I mean, that's Indiana's literally doing all that it can do right now. So I think the committee recognized that. I'm with you. When they play Ohio State, you know, we'll see what that game looks like.
And Tennessee's concern is not the Big Ten. Tennessee's concern is they want the ACC to be a one-bid league, which happens when Clemson loses at home to Louisville. They drop out of it, and it looks like it's just going to be Miami. And obviously that could change moving forward. The Big 12, BYU, if BYU runs away with it and wins it, maybe that's the only team, a one-bid Big 12. That would be huge for the ACC and for the SEC. Then you look at the SEC, Texas A&M losing at South Carolina. That's what you want. You want Texas A&M losing to Texas later on this year. That would be an elimination game. You want all these teams that could be two loss teams to find that third loss somewhere. LSU, Alabama Saturday night. That's an elimination game. You probably want Alabama to beat LSU in Baton Rouge because that makes that win over Alabama.
No, Heather Denner says, well, the Alabama, if they beat LSU, resume is better than Tennessee despite the head-to-head. Yeah. So
that's going to be a fun conversation to track over the next 5 weeks. But you just want as many of those other two-loss teams to get out of the way, get out of the picture if you can afford it, and as long as you're staying in that picture yourself, because the SEC is going to get a few teams in. The Big Ten is going to get a few teams in. Now, if you're Tennessee and others like Tennessee, you're just hoping for those other leagues to you know, be one-bid leagues and see however that has to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand kind of where that thought process is coming from if you're Heather Dinnage, but again –
But we play the games. Why are we playing the games?
Yes, games have to matter. And right, Tennessee beat Alabama. So anyway, just continue to do what you do. And like, this is a conversation earlier in the, you know, season. It's like, well, as a Tennessee fan, you can't root on your rivals. Well, it's not like you're rooting for Alabama, but the more Alabama wins, the better it makes that win look for Tennessee. And right now, that is the only thing you have in this race right now is that win over Alabama, because, you know, the schedule's not as good as you thought it would be. So.
Right.
Plenty of Mississippi State preview coming up. I promise this is a preview podcast getting you set for Tennessee and the Bulldogs, Mississippi State. Paul Jones is going to join us here coming up next as we continue on here with GameQuest. I do want to tell you first about our friends over at Premier Garage of Knoxville. fantastic people, big time Tennessee fans, and they do garage, and they do them right. Okay, you use your garage as some sort of man cave, watching football throughout the fall, maybe even trying to get, you know, get a quick escape from the family. Again, you guys know me; I just got a house. I have a not just a normal size garage; I have a huge garage, a lot of real estate in there, and I've got, you know, a lot of room for activities. And one of those activities, put mounting the TV on the wall and kind of hanging out in there with the little Vol Logger there on a Saturday afternoon, watching some football. It's my place. It can be your place, maybe in your house. Get back a few beers, escape from it all. So here's a question for you. What better way to complement this garage, a sanctuary of sorts, than Premier Garage of Knoxville's custom smoky gray hybrid polymer floor? Premier Garage of Knoxville is East Tennessee's leading provider in custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. Again, you want to see what that smoky gray polymer floor looks like? Well, if you're watching on YouTube right now, I'm going to show you exactly what it is. The background of this website, you can see the specs. You see right here. Here's the video. Look at that. That is just absolutely gorgeous.
You could eat off that floor.
Could eat off that floor. I mean, that could be your garage floor. I mean, look at that. Look how cool that is. You go to premiersgarageknoxville.com. You can sign up for a free in-home consultation up here. Name, email, phone number, zip code, all that, some more. Plus, you can see all the other stuff, video gallery. You can check out cabinets, you know, wall accessories, overhead storage solutions, all that and more. Plus that phone number, 865-947-8686. That is premiergarageknoxville.com/falls. premiergarageknoxville.com/falls. You see it right here. Go ahead and check it out today to schedule a free in-home consultation. So East Tennessee's number one leading in cabinetry and you know, storage solutions. 15 plus years in business, locally owned and operated. Thousands of satisfied customers. That's your number one spot to go and shop. That is premiergarageknoxville.com/falls. premiergarageknoxville.com/falls for a smoky gray hybrid polymer floor. Go ahead and check it out today. And of course, I do want to give a big shout out to our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a whole lot of fun. It's where you can win some money, put some coin in your pocket this football season, and have a good time doing it as well. Right now, over at PrizePicks.com, put in that promo code VQ. Promo code VQ. You're going to receive $50 once you play $5 in lineup. Promo code VQ. That's all you need. PrizePicks.com/VQ. Promo code VQ. $50 instantly when you play $5 in lineup. So how does this work? Well, you have a player grid, okay? Do college football games, NFL games, whatever it is. And you have 2 to 6 selections, you know, between 2 and 6 players. At least 2, no more than 6. And all you're doing is going more than or less than. They have a stat projection out there. You're just going to like more than or less than. It's really that simple. They've got college football, NFL. They've got soccer. They have baseball. I mean, they've got every sport you could possibly imagine over at PrizePicks.com. Just between 2 and 6, and watch the winnings roll in. Again, PrizePicks.com, promo code VQ. Promo code VQ. And you're going to be guaranteed $50 once you place your first $5 in lineup. All that and more over at PrizePicks.com/VQ. Hey, want to welcome on to the show Paul Jones. He is the publisher of Maroon and White Daily. That is the Mississippi State on 3 affiliate, getting a set for Tennessee and the Bulldogs coming up this weekend. Paul, thanks so much for joining the show. A quick synopsis on who this Mississippi State team is. I understand the record's not where any fan wants it to be at 2-7, but did get a win last weekend. Seeing some young guys play, especially the quarterback position. First year under Jeff Lebby. Kind of a year synopsis to date so far for Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a season that, you know, I think Mississippi State fans expected a rough season. I'm not sure if they expected this rough of a season and getting drawn by Toledo at home. I don't think they expected that bad of a season. But, you know, it's been a situation where, you know, 3 new head coaches in 3 years, and the lack of stability has kind of caught up with this program. And if you will, lack of recruiting over the past few years, and then some portal misses, and you combine all of that with a first year coach and a lot of new faces on the team, and that's kind of where they are right now. And, you know, to make matters, I wouldn't say make matters worse, because Michael Van Buren has done well being thrown into the fire as a freshman quarterback, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, they planned on having Blake Shapen, transfer quarterback from Baylor, as the guy this year. And, you know, to his credit, he played pretty well up until he got hurt and was lost for the season. But, you know, Van Buren has stepped in there, and, you know, there's there's two different types of getting thrown into the fire. You know, when you have to come in the SEC and play that schedule, that's tough as it is. But you look back at Van Buren's first two starts were on the road at Texas and at Georgia. So, you know, I say that in advance of this weekend. I do think this will be state's toughest atmosphere that they face this year, mainly because it's a night game. They had Georgia and Texas during the day. But they have been prepared for these type of atmospheres, and I think Van Buren has obviously faced that type of competition on the road.
Yeah, you talked about the freshman quarterback there and Van Buren kind of stepping in for Blake Shapen, who went out there in the Florida game a couple weeks ago. Let's go to the other side of the football, the defense. I mean, offensively, there's a direction. You know, we know about what Lebby's doing. There's some receivers making plays, young, dynamic quarterback. Defensively, it just feels like it's a complete mess. Obviously, last on the stat sheet in pretty much every single category. What's gone wrong for Mississippi State's defense? And Tennessee fans know this well. It's oftentimes hard to compliment an offense that goes at the tempo where you want to go lightning fast.
Yeah, it's been it's kind of like what my first answer was. It's been a combination of bad defensive recruiting catching up with them over the past 3 years. You know, you go back to the Mike Leach era, and you know, the majority of his top defensive players, when you look at Jed Johnson, Bookie Watson, and Jaden Crumney, and all those guys, those were Joe Moorhead recruits. And State didn't really replenish the cupboard that much on defense. And then you combine that with some portal misses this year, and you know, they faced an uphill battle with the first-year staff and new staff on defense, and trying to get, you know, find some impact guys in the portal, and it just didn't work out for them. And I think the biggest – one of the biggest factors when you look at all of that, their top four defensive linemen have been hurt this year. And two of them have been pretty much out for the season with Calvin Dinkins and Kedrick Bentley-Jones. They haven't played since September. And this past past week, they got Trevion Williams back on the defensive line. He played a little bit. DeMonte Russell, senior defensive lineman, he's missed the past two games. So, they basically had injuries where they couldn't afford injuries, and it's caught up with them. And, you know, the linebacker play has been pretty consistent this year. Kind of been some solid guys there with Brandon Jennings and Stone Blanton, a former South Carolina transfer. And the secondary is basically completely new outside of Corey Ellington, and he missed the first five or six games of the year. And they've been up and down as well. But overall, I'd probably say the linebackers have had the best season of the defensive groups, but injuries have really hurt this team as far as also just not having talented depth.
Go back to offense and talk about Mike Van Buren at quarterback. What should Tennessee's defense expect? A guy that has been sacked a lot, so his rushing numbers technically don't look all that impressive because of the lost yardage there, but he scored four times on the ground. He's super athletic, can make the throws. What should Tennessee's defense kind of expect in trying to defend the freshman?
He likes to take deep shots, and he's got the arm for that. And he's actually been, as crazy as it sounds, he's been more accurate on deep passes than he has across the middle and quick outs. That's part of his game that he's got to advance. And he'll get better with that as his accuracy and experience improves. But he's a gamer. You know, he's a competitive guy. You look at go back to the Georgia game, and he started off really slow, but had a, you know, got them back in the game and had them down 10 points in the fourth quarter, driving to possibly cut that lead even smaller. But he's a guy that he's going to make his freshman mistakes. I mean, it is what it is in that category, but he's a guy that doesn't get down on himself, and he's going to keep fighting.
Look at this offensive line. 3.9 yards per carry, 29 sacks in nine games, 61 TFLs. You mentioned defensive line. A lot of those guys have been hurt as well. And so really this is a line of scrimmage question. Defensive line, because of the injuries, not a whole lot of production in terms of sacks and TFLs. Offensive line, it looks like I've been giving up some sacks so far this year. Kind of where is Mississippi State in the trenches entering this game, game number 10 of the year?
Yeah, it's been inconsistent on the offensive line too. They brought in several new transfers, McCallum Pounders from Memphis and Ethan Miner from North Texas, Marlon Martinez from LSU, Jacoby Jackson from Texas Tech. And, you know, they pretty much stayed healthy on the offensive line. It's just, It's just been it's been a weird deal because one week they'll pass block good, but struggle in the run block, and then that's kind of gone back and forth. I will give them credit for being better in the run game. They picked that up in the past few weeks, and you know, I think at left tackle it's kind of been a back and forth deal with true freshman Luke Work, Tennessee native. That's gotten the start at left tackle, but Pounders and him switch out a pretty good bit throughout the game. One of their top backups, Cannon Boone, got hurt last week or week before last, and he's out for the season. So there's not much depth there on the offensive line, but you know, it's been kind of to shrink it down. The tackles have been an issue, and they've been pretty decent on the interior, but the tackles, and that's where most of the sacks have come. And obviously, that's a scary situation going into Tennessee with what they have on the edge on the defensive line.
Hey, Paul, last question. I get you out the door, man. I don't expect it to be carbon copy, obviously. Each coach puts a new wrinkle on what they like to do. But no, obviously, not breaking news here. Heupel and Levy spent a whole lot of time together in meeting rooms, even dating back to, you know, Heupel mentioned, you know, Oklahoma when Levy was a student there. So how similar will this offense for Levy be to what it looks like, you know, with what Heupel runs? Obviously, everybody thinks of tempo. Tennessee's actually slowed it down some, but how similar will this offense be? I'm expecting a whole lot of plays in this football game on both sides.
Yeah, it kind of depends. You know, I think at times this year they look very similar. But, you know, when Mississippi State's issues on the defensive side, there's been times, especially in the Georgia game and the Texas game, where Levy slowed down the tempo. He's kind of tried to drain the clock a little bit, give his defense some more time off the field and to get rest. But, you know, when he wants to go fast, he'll go fast. I think you'll see that variate during the game. He'll go fast at times, and then he'll slow it down depending on the stage of the game and what he feels about his defense. I think both of them are very similar in – you know, people think about tempo and fast-paced offenses. They think throwing, you know, verts and throwing 50, 60 passes a game. But both of them evolve around the run game. And, yep. You know, Levy wants to do that first and foremost. He wants to establish that run game. And I think you'll see that with their scripted plays on the first drive. And I think you'll see that in the first half, just trying to establish the ground game. You may see four or five carries in a row at times with Jeff Levy, and that's a big point of emphasis for him, is to get the run game going so he can open up other things. But obviously, you know, those two grew up together in the coaching business, so it's, you know, in this situation and typical for college coaches, they swap ideas all the time. So, you know, they've traded things and they've used things that the other uses all the time, and I think you'll see a lot of similarities on Saturday.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like at least once or twice a season, there's an out-of-market reporter or something that asks Josh Heupel a question like, oh, you guys like to throw it here and air raid and do all this. And Heupel's like, well, no, it all starts on the ground with the run. That's how we build this offense. So Levy, of course, doing the same thing.
And we saw that probably, and of course you got to consider the opponent. They played UMass last week. But we saw glimpses of what Levy wants to do with the run game with the explosive plays. I think all three of their running backs had touchdown runs over 35 yards. And that's the type of stuff that he wants to do on a consistent basis. And I think for the first time all year, you saw that start to break through.
Hey, Paul, thanks so much for joining the show, man. Only a couple hours until kickoff. But if Tennessee fans want to know more about Mississippi State leading up to kickoff, what do you got going on over there at the Maroon and White Daily?
Yeah, we're at maroonandwhitedaily.com. And, you know, it's same situation for y'all, man. We're into that carryover season where basketball is starting up and fall baseball just finished up. A lot of hype around Mississippi State's women's soccer team. They're number one in the country right now, currently in the SEC tournament. I think they beat Tennessee in overtime to start that SEC tournament. But just that time of year, man, and we're in November where it's football and basketball, and one of my favorite times of the year.
Might be the best time of the year right here, the month of November. Paul, thanks so much, man, and we'll see you this weekend.
Sounds good.
Hey, good stuff there from Paul Jones, getting us the inside scoop on the Bulldogs in Mississippi State, and that's kind of what we're going to do here look at some personnel and kind of some keys to the game for Tennessee. Grant, Mississippi State team, obviously the wins aren't there this year. It's very much a rebuilding year. It's first year under Jeff Levy, 2-7, winless in SEC play. They're 1-7 against FBS opponents this year. That one win came against UMass a week ago. They won the opener against FCS Eastern Kentucky, won last week's game against UMass, and in between, they lost seven straight. It is an offense that has a pulse. It is an offense that has a direction. It's an offense that scored some points. You go out and get Jeff Levy, who's a really good offensive coach. That shouldn't shock you. Where they did take a massive hit this year was they went out and got Baylor quarterback Blake Shapen. And he got hurt during the Florida game. So he is out for the season. In steps in true freshman. Because remember, Mike Wright was gone and Will Rogers both gone for the team last year. Michael Van Buren Jr. And he stepped in. And so far this year in seven games, he's thrown for over 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, completing it at 57%. Does have 4 rushing touchdowns. He's athletic. He's a really good down the field passer. He's done a pretty good job. I mean, Mississippi State's not winning any awards offensively, but, they're 12th in points per game, 10th in total O, 6th in passing, 14th in rushing. But those stats, and we'll get to defense here in a moment, those stats are amazing compared to where they rank defensively.
And it kind of sounds like you're describing a Josh Heupel offense, because go figure, Jeff Levy kind of from that same mold, that same up-tempo spread that obviously from his time at Oklahoma with Heupel and coaching under him elsewhere. I mean, that's kind of the Spider-Man meme where they're looking at each other. It's the same thing, right? There you go. You got to watch the YouTube to see that. But I mean, you're going to be able to plug in somebody and put up yards, because it feels like that's what this offense is capable of, regardless of. And I don't know that they're identical, but they're similar enough to where, it doesn't really matter who your quarterback is. If you got a pulse, you're going to put up some decent yards and some decent production. It's going to be up to obviously Tennessee's defense to stop that. Now you think that's probably highly likely based on what Tennessee has done through 8 games, not giving up more than 19 points, as good as they've been up front, as deep as they are, as talented as they are, and coming to Neyland Stadium too. I mean, it's a 4th straight home game. It's another Saturday night football game, the season of the night game. So a young quarterback on the road. I don't know what the defensive ranks are. I'm afraid to even look. I'm sure you have, but they have put up points. I mean, they went to Georgia and scored 31. They put up 24 against Texas A&M. They played Texas tough in Austin a few weeks ago. So I don't know. It's kind of a hard group to figure out.
And again, that's why I think, they'll put up some points potentially. Right. I know Tennessee's defense is elite. And again, I'm going to get to their defense. That's why I think this game's going to be no problem, because this defense is just so, so bad. Offensively, they have a 2 running back system. Devin Booth is the starting tailback. Also has 4 receiving touchdowns on the year, so they throw it to him out of the backfield an awful lot. Tennessee's got to be mindful of that. Kevin Coleman is the clear-cut number one go-to guy. When they put the football in the air, they throw it to him, most likely. He is a transfer from Louisville. He started his career at Jacksonville State. He's got 688 yards receiving, 57 receptions, and 5 scores. Mario Craver, if that name sounds familiar, well, it's because at one point in time, he was a Tennessee football commit. Mario Craver, 16 receptions, 355 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He's the big play guy, 22 yards per catch. Jordan Mosley's a guy that does some things. They have another transfer receiver from UTEP that does some things. Again, they've got some weapons at wide receiver. They got a quarterback that's not bad, and they got a run game that's decent. Offensive line's not very good. They've given up 29 sacks. 3.9 yards per carry, 61 TFLs. And here's the thing. They're going to score some points, I feel like. Will they get over 20? I don't know. But I feel like that they're capable of scoring some points. Defensively, they can't stop me and Grant out there playing pass. I mean, it's horrendous. You said you didn't hear those defensive stats. Well, try this on for size. 34.6 points per game. All these are last in the SEC. That goes without saying. 34.6 points per game. That's 8 more points given up than the 15th place team. 461 yards total offense given up a game. 250 yards passing allowed per game. That's actually 15th. 211 yards rushing on the ground allowed per game. The next closest, I forgot what team. I think it's Florida. Get this, the next closest team in terms of rushing yards allowed per game is Florida. They give up 49 yards less on average a game than Mississippi State. just horrendous. So there it is. I mean, there's they got some decent linebackers. South Carolina transfer Stone Blanton's been a pretty good player. Brandon Jenkins, edge player, is a pretty decent player. They've had tons, as Paul pointed out, they have tons and tons of injuries on the defensive line. Grant, if there is ever a chance to just go out there and get right game, go out there and beat them and look good doing it, go out there and get your quarterback confident, your receiver comp. I mean, rinse, repeat. We've said this every single week, right? But this has got to be it because, again, you and I can go out there and play safety and we might be just as good as what they've shown so far. I kid, but the point is they've been so bad.
I mean, I kind of felt that way last week against Kentucky, going into that Kentucky game. I thought they were beat up. I thought they had just given up 278 to an Auburn running back and 3-something on the ground. And I thought Dylan Sampson would run wild and do whatever he wanted. And it would be that kind of get-right game. But for whatever reason, it just feels like Tennessee's going to be down 7-0 at halftime or 3-0 or 7-3. And there's going to be missed field goals or turnovers or penalties or whatever in the first half, and then they come out in the second half, and Dylan Sampson has 140 yards and 2 touchdowns, and everything's fine. Like, I don't know. I don't know how Michael Van Buren can go to Georgia and throw for 300 and 3 touchdowns and score 31 points. And then, you know, I think he had like 150 yards maybe and nothing at Texas where they scored 13 points, or how this team could get beat 41-17 at home against Toledo. I don't know how those defensive numbers compare to maybe what Heupel had in 2021 when Tennessee was just trying to outscore everybody.
It wasn't this bad.
Because they couldn't stop anybody, but it kind of feels kind of similar. Like, they're just trying to outscore people, obviously. Tennessee was never 2-7 and 0-5 in very different situations. But, I mean, that's kind of what it feels like when you have that high-tempo offense, high-paced offense, and you're just trying to outscore a defense that can't get any stops. Now it's going to be up to Tennessee to pressure that defense to finish drives, to not put the ball on the ground, to not miss field goals, to score early, and just kind of change that whole narrative that we've been talking about for the last month, because I keep trying to predict that it's going to end. It doesn't end. It just keeps going every single week. Like, it wasn't turnovers against Kentucky. It was a field goal kicker who hadn't missed within 40 yards all season, missing 3 times in a row, was it not? So,
yeah,
it's I don't know. Like, I feel like they should have a get-right game. They should pile up points early on, all that stuff, but you kind of got to see it to believe it at this point.
Sorry, I'm obviously just going crazy with the microphone. I was like a play caller here.
I thought you were doing a white balance.
There you nobody knows what that means. Funny, I went interview for a TV job one time and I didn't know what that meant. So clearly,
I wouldn't have known either.
Clearly, I didn't get the job. Apparently, I was runner up. I don't know why, but anyway.
Well, there are 2 candidates.
Well, that's why. More on that in a moment. I do want to talk about this offense before we say goodbye, because again, I know everybody's getting so tired of hearing this, but, like, gosh, they're getting better. But anyway, right. More on that in a moment. Josh Heupel's defense wasn't great in 21, even wasn't great in 2022. In fact, the pass defense got worse in 22 than it was in 21. In 21, you played 3 backers. Like, I mean, there was very much we got outscored. But Grant, I mean, again, I correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm not going to go back and look it up, but I don't remember Tennessee's defense on 2 separate occasions in 2021 giving up over 600 yards of total offense. I don't remember on 2 separate occasions in 2021 Tennessee's defense allowing 300 plus rushing yards in a contest. I don't remember that. I don't think it was that bad, but that's kind of where you are. And again, you know, last week, UMass, let's see, no, it was 2 weeks ago at Arkansas. Arkansas ran for 359. Arkansas almost ran for 400 yards. It's like Tennessee at Missouri back in 21 type stuff. 359 yards rushing is what Arkansas did against this Mississippi State defense. But again, Auburn rushed for like 270 against Kentucky, you know, prior to last week. Mississippi State ran for 240 against Florida before Tennessee played Florida. So it's like, we've seen this before. You just got to go out there and do it for 4 quarters.
Here's the challenge for Tennessee this week. UMass, of all people, the Minutemen. Are they the Minutemen?
Yes, they are.
They scored 10 points in the first quarter at Mississippi State. If UMass can do it on the road, Tennessee should do it at home against the same team. But maybe this is just the recipe now where they don't score a ton of points and the defense doesn't give up a ton of points and they find ways to win football games. But if you're trying to make a statement, which everybody's trying to make a statement in the 12-team playoff era, if you're in that playoff conversation, you better beat bad teams by a lot of points like you should beat them. Tennessee's better, more than 10 points better than Kentucky. They need to show that. They didn't show that last week. They need to kind of get back to that. But again, it's like Groundhog's Day. you know, pounding the alarm clock, 6 a.m. It's the same thing. Like, Tennessee needs to get back to clicking on both sides of the ball. The offense needs to catch up to the defense, and they need to get back to 51-10 and those kind of scores where you kind of make a statement. They haven't done that in a few weeks. This is another opportunity to do that. You're going to have one against UTEP in a couple weeks where it better be pretty lopsided from early on. You need to find ways to make statements down the stretch, and it better start Saturday. If UMass can do it, surely Tennessee could do it.
Yeah, they haven't done that in conference play at all this year.
No.
And you had opportunities against Alabama. You had guys running wide open. You had guys running open against Florida. Technically, it's 4 of 8, but you had a kneel down at the 19 in the game. I don't count that. Right. You were 4 of 7 in the red zone with 3 missed field goals and a fumble. Like, quit fumbling, Dylan Sampson. You're really good, dude. Stop fumbling, right? And that's what I was going to kind of get back to. Like, it's the same stuff. Hit the alarm clock. Same day all over again. I get it. But the offensive tackles are not an issue right now. Are they playing like All-Americans? No.
They're playing better, yes.
But they're playing better, and they're a little bit like Lance Hurd is a lot healthier now than where he was.
Right.
And, I mean, I was talking to another starting offensive lineman just the other day for Tennessee, and I'm like, yeah, tackles look like they're playing better. It's like, yeah, well, it helps when you're healthy. You know, like, literally. So, I mean, the tackles are getting better, okay? The quarterback is, I'm sure he'll make a freshman mistake at some point this year, but his last 6 quarters have been really good, and you see why he was the number one overall recruit in 2023. You see why he's the $8 million man. He's playing really good football, and that's the most important piece no matter what, and you got it right now. Okay, your running back's an All-American, okay? So you've got these, you know, check, check, check. Receivers, they suck right now. They got to get better. Your kicker, right now he sucks. You got to get better. But, like, my point is, like, just go finish. And then if you just go finish, how different is that game?
And the kicker, you saw the kicker go 12 for 12 and be, you know, lights out. Like, he wasn't close to missing field goals for however many weeks of the season that
Grant,
happened.
I think they forced him out. They were so desperate for points the last couple of weeks that
I don't disagree.
They forced him out there for some 53-yarders that they probably normally wouldn't.
And I think he kind of got in his head, and he's kind of, I think what Heupel said on Monday, he's kind of overcorrected on misses and then overcorrected the other way, and it's just kind of been a mess. But those checks you're talking about, they're all these pieces to the puzzle. Like, it was overthrows against Florida and Alabama, missed shots down the field. That's on the quarterback. He's been better now. He's making those throws. He's putting it on the money. Now it's drops, but you've seen those kind of elite catches be made. Chris Brazel in the back of the end zone against Alabama with 5 minutes left, the go-ahead touchdown, the Dante Thornton 55-yarder down the field where he's reaching out and catching it with his fingertips. Like, they can make those plays, and then they turn around against Kentucky, and you have a Brazel drop in the end zone. You've got a Chaz Nimrod, what probably would have been a touchdown over the middle on that post route.
For sure, yeah.
So that's the frustrating part is you've seen – there have been misses, obviously, but you've seen the plays be made at other times. You've seen a kicker that can make kicks. Well, then he missed them. You can see receivers that make catches. Well, now they've dropped a couple. You've seen a quarterback that missed on throws earlier and now is kind of back to hitting those throws and playing really well. He had a 90.8 Pro Football Focus passing grade against Kentucky. I mean, he was a couple catches away from, you know, 360 yards or whatever, 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, those would have been insane numbers. Like, they're not that far away from doing that. It's just you have to see it all those pieces of the puzzle be put together. And we just haven't seen that over the last month. Now, thankfully, the defense is doing what the defense has done, and it's winning them ball games. So we're going to see how long that can last.
Yeah, and I mean, there's still so much talent in that wide receiver room. Like, I think Brew's been so dependable, and Scroll's not healthy, and we've seen flashes of Thornton, who's not been healthy, and Brazel. Just put it all together. Put it all together.
And Chaz, in his defense, was really good against Kentucky. Yeah. He just had that one bad play that everybody remembers. He had a couple of really good catches. I thought he played some of his best football against Kentucky.
I agree. But he's had, and according to Pro Football Focus, he has one drop this year. That is 100% inaccurate. He's had some bad misses this year, and that's what we remember.
Right.
He's had a couple of balls that I think that he could have helped Nico out and caught down the field, I think against Florida. Like, there's one specific, like, go make the catch, dude. But anyway, like, to your point, he played really well against Kentucky. He made a great catch on the sideline. He made a great catch over the middle. But he made a really bad drop, and that's what we remember. So
imagine this. Imagine if I told you Tennessee wasn't going to score but 7 points in the first half of 4 games, 7 total points, and the person that scored those points was going to be Peyton Lewis. Like, what world would we be living in?
Tennessee's going, what, probably squeak out a win in there.
Yeah, maybe 1-3.
Yeah, 1-3. It's like, what's going on? All right, Tennessee, Mississippi State. Grant, give me a score prediction and give me a bowl prediction. And again, well, I haven't even thought about until this time what my score prediction is going to be, so we can preserve the right to change it. But give me a score prediction and a bowl prediction for Tennessee against Mississippi State.
I picked them to score 40-something at Arkansas. Clearly, that was a mistake. I picked them to score 30-something and win going away against Florida. Clearly, that was wrong. I did pick them against 7 against Alabama. Sun shines on a dog's butt every now and then. I picked them to score 44 against Kentucky, I think, 44-10, and clearly that was very dumb. So I'm going to go with this recipe that they've laid out where they just don't play well in the first half and they do enough in the second half, and they get a 10-point win, and they'll win 29-19, and that's probably going to be wrong when I look back at this next week, but it is what it is at this point. I've predicted them to score a bunch of points. They keep failing, so I'm just going to go with whatever they've been doing the last few weeks. Tennessee wins a football game by playing really well in the second half, and you just kind of kick the can down the road and see what you can do at Georgia next week, and then go from there.
So what's the score?
29-19. That's the magic number. They've had 25-15. They've had 28-18. 19 is what they haven't given up on defense, so 29-19. I have no idea how they get there. Don't even ask me.
Again, this is off the cuff. Like, I haven't thought about this one time this week, but, like, that's why I didn't hear your score, because I was thinking. I was tuning you out. Like, I want – like, this defense is so bad. So, like, I want to be, like, Tennessee 50, Mississippi State 10. Like, 50-10 is what I want to say. But, like,
but you'd have to score 50 in the second half.
Yeah, I know.
Or 43 or 47.
Like, will – from what we've seen the last month, 50 is just not – like, who in their right mind would say that? But, like, again, this defense is so bad. It is so bad. I think the offense is going to just go and get it this game. And I said that last game. I get it. But I think Samson's going to be well. I think Nico's going to continue to play well. I think the receivers are going to catch the football, you know. I won't say 50. Give me 40, though. Give me 42. Give me Tennessee 42. Give me Mississippi State 13. Tennessee 42, Mississippi State 13. And I think Tennessee gets back to winning comfortably like it should.
Would make our lives a little bit easier. We could, you know, actually know what the outcome's going to be before the third, fourth quarter.
It would, it would be fantastic. It'd be great. But end of the day, you and I both think Tennessee's going to improve to 8-1, 5-1, and be right there once again ranked in the college football playoff rankings on Tuesday to get set up for the Monster Showdown, Tennessee at Georgia. I think Austin said it on the Rocky Top Roundtable this week, like what you plan to do offensively against Georgia, do it this game. Like, right. Like you're not going to hurt yourself. Like, get extra. I understand. Put it on tape. I mean, guys, it's week. It's game 10 of the schedule.
You're on
game
tape at this point.
Like, everything's tape. On tape. Okay. Like, right. You're not saving anything. Okay. That's like one of the biggest things that I always roll my eyes out. Like, no, you go out there and work and you rep and you play football. So go out there and do what you're going to do, your game plan against Georgia. Like, is that going to be more 12 personnel? Is it going to be base 11? I don't know. We'll see. But I would go into this weekend with the mindset of, like, Georgia, like, you got to take care of business. I'm not trying to overlook Mississippi State, but fact of the matter is, this is a game that Tennessee should win by 30.
They should. We just got to see it happen.
We will find out. All right. Plenty of coverage leading you up to kickoff at VolQuest.com. As always, I do want to thank our friends, our presenting sponsor of the show, that is Premier Garage of Knoxville. East Tennessee's number one provider in customer garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. You can be the best Tennessee fan this football season that you can be by ordering the Smoky Gray Hybrid Polymer Floor today at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. That is PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols to get that Smoky Gray Polymer Floor today. Big thanks to Paul Jones for being a part of the show. Grant Ramey, as always, and I am Eric Kane. Thank you guys so much for listening, watching us. Check us out at thevolquest.com, the General's Quarters, all game long, reaction, analysis during the game, and so much more. All that and more, volquest.com.